Joining us now, we have from PGA Tour News, Ron Mintz. Ron, welcome into the golf shop.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
All right. So, we had a little bit of trouble, it seemed like, getting here to the Olympics and getting everything started, but it seems like everything's going well down there. What's your opinion of how things have gone through a couple rounds so far?
I think it's been going great. I was very skeptical, but once the round started Thursday, it seemed just like another tournament. Not just another one, but a very good tournament. The guys liked the course, and I hate to say I'm surprised, but I did not expect it to be that well received.
Well, Ron, when you talk about the skepticism you felt going in, as somebody who helps to cover and promote the tour and the game, what was it that you were skeptical about? I know what had me sort of bothered about, even months out. What had you thinking this may not go well?
Well, just what I had read and talked to people about. One thing that bothered me was the security. They had run out of money and had not even paid some of the security officers. And with the way things are in our world right now, terrorism was high on my list. And fortunately, I don't think they've had that many problems yet. That was number one. The Zika thing, yeah, that was a concern of mine, but I knew that the guys that would be most affected by it had pulled out. Ironically, there are more cases of Zika right now in Florida, where most of the pros live, than there are in Brazil. So I guess those were the two things. The other was the trouble they had with the course, but then I knew, or those fears were alleviated a few months ago when Gil showed everybody the course and what he had done. He did an incredible job, and I think that's been the biggest surprise at the players. You don't normally find a course that everybody likes, and I have not heard one complaint at all.
Again,
so those were the things that I was concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's one of the things, and I was talking to it a little bit before we had our last break, was one of the things that I didn't like is, you got these guys, they're qualifying for a team, they're wearing team colors, team uniforms, they're carrying team bags, but yet we don't have a team aspect to this thing. Has there been any talk about changing the format to maybe get the team more involved, where you actually give out maybe a team medal and an individual medal as well?
There's been a lot of talk, and early on that was one of the criticisms. Adam Scott said, as far as he was concerned, this was no more than a four-day tournament, 72-hole tournament like any other they play. And he would have preferred match play of some sort, like a Ryder Cup format. I do think, of course, we are locked in for Tokyo, so we know we're going to have at least one more chance. I do think we'll see some changes. How they're going to do it, I don't know. I've tried to come up with some ideas and scenarios, but I'll leave that up to the experts. But I do think we'll see a different format.
Well, and you look at it going forward, I'm trying to figure out, is golf better for the Olympics? Having it in helps the Olympics, or are the Olympics better for golf in terms of exposing some of these athletes to people who might not be that interested in golf?
I definitely think it's better for golf. I watched some of the coverage, and they showed some third world countries where they had started golf programs, and even the fans there, it was sort of funny. Yesterday afternoon, I heard Bubba say, every time I take a backswing, that guy right there is taking my picture. And it wasn't that they were disrespectful. They didn't know that these aren't fans like in the United States. They didn't know that you weren't supposed to do that. And the players were trying to help them. They said the people were so gracious. They were fantastic and so nice. But they were taking pictures because they saw the other people taking them, but they didn't know, when they should start. So the players were trying to tell them, and then Patrick Reed got upset with a couple of people taking his picture. But the announcer said, hey, it's not that they're being disrespectful. They just don't know. This country only has two golf courses. So they've never been to a tournament for the most part, but they loved it. So I definitely think it's been good for golf, and it's great exposure. And I really do believe we need to grow the game worldwide, and especially with young kids. If we can get them started early, it just sets them on the right path for their whole life.
Now, can this do something for Brazil and for Rio? I mean, you think about that, where they put this thing, prime real estate, even in a country that is racked by poverty and corruption and all the things we all know about. Does that golf course stay a golf course, and do people take up golf in Rio, or does that thing become beachfront condos and more apartments at some point?
Well, there's enough tourism. I think that the course will definitely stay open and probably will be very profitable. What a lot of people don't know is when the IGF, the International Golf Federation, made the proposal back in 2007 to bring the golf back to the Olympics, Rio's economy was doing well,
yeah,
even up to 2009. But since that time, it's really struggled, and that's why we're seeing a lot of the water issues, crime. But when they made a decision, everything was great. And also, they were counting on Tiger to play. I don't know why, but they didn't do the math, because he was going to be 40 regardless of the economy. And you would think he would still be playing at 40, but he's had all the back problems. So that was one big thing that the Olympics and the Golf Federation were banking on, was that Tiger would be there, and that would really be a shot in the arm. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But, no, I think that course is the quality of it, and there's two sides of Rio, obviously. Like most countries like that, there's a very wealthy side of town, and there's a very poverty-stricken side, and there's enough people there that can afford to play, along with the tourism, to keep that course thriving, I think.
Again, we're talking with Ron Mintz of PGA Tour News, and I kind of giggled yesterday, Ron, when I saw a tweet by somebody that made a reference to the number of different countries represented on the leaderboard, and I kind of giggled to myself, and I said, well, when you restrict to no more than four from a country, and you only have 60 guys playing, odds are that 99% of the time you're going to have, you know, a bunch of different countries represented at the top of the leaderboard. But we're definitely see the cream rise to the top, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And you know, when I first looked at it, I thought I couldn't predict who's going to win this thing, because even though I think 60th on the list was ranked 339th in the world, that may sound like way down the list, but it's happened before. You know, if a guy gets going and gets on fire, anybody could, in the top 500, could have a great day and possibly win that thing. But it looks like, from what we've seen the first two rounds, it's going to be some people that we're familiar with and figured would be there. I'm disappointed in the Americans so far, but they're not too far back. I mean, they can still, if they have two good rounds, they can be in contention Sunday.
All right, well, Ron, I have the power to give you temporary, omnipotent, omnipresent control of what happens to this event in Tokyo. What changes do you make?
Well, first of all, I would add more players. I think, like you mentioned earlier, the United States was the only country that had four, so most had two. Brazil got one because they were the host country. But I would like to see at least 120-player field, and in some way look at a match play or a combination of stroke or individual play, match play, and try to get the team concept in there and have four guys on that podium instead of one from each country or from the winning country. How you do that, I don't know. I'd have to think about it, but I think that would be much more well-received from the players and the fans and everyone involved.
Well, and I think adding more people would certainly open it up, certain more countries and more from the top 100 of the you know, on the money list and all that official world golf rankings. But also, I think there are going to be some guys who aren't there who may regret their decision this time, and we may see more interest from top players next time around, because they got to see these guys go out and watch the field hockey, go out and watch the swimming, go out. I mean, it was amazing for, I mean, really, the basketball players from the U.S., the NBA players, and the golfers from around the world are the biggest sports celebrities at these events. And they're going out and they're trying to live as much of the Olympic experience as they can. It was so cool to see those guys at the pool the other night, or to see Bubba Watson meet the girls from the field hockey team and say, I'm going to go watch the field hockey match. Do you think these guys who chose to not go might regret it and may rethink their decision going into Tokyo?
I actually wrote an article yesterday, and I said, I don't think they will regret it. I think they already do. I mean, Ricky's posting pictures of everything, which Brandel Chamblee's sort of criticized. He said, look, I don't see the intensity of the American players. I think they've been out having too much fun every night. And I don't agree with that. I think they can have a good time at night and get up in the morning and be ready to go. But, you know, Brandel's a little controversial sometimes. But they've definitely had a good time, and Bubba was staying somewhere else, and Ricky and the guys were in the village. So Bubba moved into the village to be with them because that's where all the parties and all the fun was. So they deserve that. I mean, that's part of the Olympic experience, meeting other people. And one thing I love is, you know, you got Kevin Durant sitting there in the stands beside, I think, Ricky or someone, or at least one of our golfers, and taking pictures of the golfers. I mean, they're fans of golf, and we're fans of basketball. So finally, these two sports get to meet socially, you know, and not have cameras and reporters all over them. So as you mentioned, I think it's great that all the athletes from different sports get to know each other.
Well, you know,
and I wrote about in my article that, they're all smiling. All the athletes, everyone you see is smiling. They're having such a great time. So there will be no losers. I mean, this is just a great experience. And you're right. I think these guys that pulled out, and not saying they didn't have a good reason to. I mean, families first and health first. But I don't think they'll have those concerns in Tokyo. And I know they already wish they were there.
Well, you know, for me, to Brandel Chamblee's comment about taking it seriously, I mean, I think whenever these guys tee it up in a golf tournament, they get serious. I think there's maybe a little different feel to it. I mean, when you have Bubba Watson taking his accountant as a caddy, that tells you a little bit of something right there. But I mean, you know, these guys look at it. They have such a tough schedule. They've had all these majors. I mean, you take it as an opportunity to do a little bit of a vacation, go see some great things in the Olympics. But when they tee it up, they're certainly going to take it serious. Ricky Fowler has actually turned it around a little bit today. He's 6-under through 9 holes, so he's making a fight back. But, I mean, you got to think that unless you do something different with the format, then it's going to be, maybe just another event for these guys and maybe an opportunity to throw a little R&R in there while they're actually playing in a golf tournament at the same time.
Oh, I mean, they schedule these things for the athletes to do. They help them get tickets. They schedule social activities, so that's part of it. I don't see any problem with that whatsoever. And, you know, it's funny you say that about Ricky. I didn't know he was doing that well this morning. But do you remember when they said that he was the most overrated player on tour?
Mm-hmm.
His fellow players said that a couple of years ago before the players. And I think that fired him up. And what did he do? He won the players in a three-way playoff. And then he and Kevin Kisner came down to 3 holes on number 17, and they were both throwing darts at the hole, but Ricky came out with a win. I think that motivated him, and that may be the case today. He heard what Brandel said, and probably made him a little mad. So, you know, good for Ricky.
Well, Ron, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and we look forward to seeing how this is going to play out this week and next week with the ladies.
Yeah, that's another thing I keep forgetting about. I've gotten to where I love watching the ladies play. The LPGA's come a long way, and there's some great players there, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
All right, well, thanks a lot for joining us.
I saw you had a show a station in Greensboro where I live, so I need to start catching that show each week.
There you go.
I wasn't aware. I knew there was a new show up there a few months ago, but I thought it was on another station, so I'm glad I checked out your website.
Good enough. Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
All right. That's Ron Mintz with PGA Tour News.